Capital 263. Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
And I'm Tawande Henry BT. And yeah, welcome to the best political podcast in the country.
Aren't we the only political podcast in the country?
Hey, dude, we're still the best, eh? Anyway, what do we have on this week?
This week, we're going to be talking about activists. As you know, there were some ZimFlag activists that were arrested last week. So we're going to talk about activists. We're going to talk about protests a little bit and that whole movement and how it plays out in the Zim political sphere. We're also going to dabble a little bit in political friends who became enemies, frenemies. Who became friends again. Yeah, frenemies. And see how that takes us.
Yep, that sounds great. Anyway, guys, as always, we're here to spark the debate. Our views and our opinions are our own, but definitely get in touch with us and share some of your views. Chris, I'll let you get on with the social or hashtag activism because you feel like you've got very strong opinions about this, about Fadzi and our friends.
So, you see, now that's, I think it's quite an interesting topic and it's something that's been happening this year.
Yeah.
The way social media has played out in our political sphere, yeah. And the influence it has had on actions that have taken place this year, I think it's something we can't ignore. It's interesting, I think, to start to go back and see how this whole thing started. Kind of started.
Yeah. So a brief. Get back into the time machine sometime earlier this year, probably around February, March, April, around then. The good Pastor Evan and this flag really got the ball rolling. If you guys haven't heard about Pastor Evan and this flag, basically he released a series of video and then it began as, 25 days where you are wearing your flag. And eventually it snowballed into what was quite at the time seen as a very effective, social movement or hashtag activism that was, which sort of culminated in, two stairways of varying successes. The first one was quite successful. was it because of him? I don't know. And then the second one was less so, but he then subsequently, I think, got detained, or was he actually officially arrested?
He was arrested.
He was arrested by the police and then charged with subverting a constitutionally elected government, which is a ridiculous charge, from a legal perspective. And then since then, he has made quite a nice home for himself in America. So basically, that was the genesis of the hashtag activism. Since then, we've had a number of other hashtags come up, Tejamuka being notable. This flag went through a reinvention or a palace coup, depending on who you ask. And now a good friend of ours, Fadzi Maheri, is now the face of it. I don't know if you'll call herself the leader. So I think that's a quick history of it. Why we're speaking about it today is last week there was a hashtag Munwese Mrod, which was heavily pushed on social media, but had... let's be honest, it had very, very little effect on the ground for a number of reasons.
Yeah, so I think let's start with Munwese Mrod. Mm. It was a protest against bond notes, the imminent arrival of the much dreaded bond notes. And as far as I understand, it was organized by this flag. But it also had affiliates from guys like Sten Shorwadza.
Sten is with the informal vendors union.
Vendors union. And then Patson Zamara as well.
Who's Occupy Africa Unity Square.
And Tejamuka.
Tejamuka was in, there was a whole big story about that, which we might as well just get into it right now. Tejamuka initially seemed to be on board. A couple of days before, they then said that Tejamuka doesn't operate without a consultation.
Consultation with who?
I don't know. It was a very interestingly worded statement. And basically, they were saying they're pulling their support from the demonstrations against bond notes that were on the 18th of November. to Jamuka, which is led by Promise Mkwananzi.
Mkwananzi.
My pronunciations are something I'm going to have to work with. Please bear with me, Ndrum Salad. but yeah, no, Promise, who just 2 weeks before had actually been in a video with Fadzi Maheru from This Flag.
Yeah, they were supposed to
meet the RBZ,
governor in a public meeting that then became a Tajamka only meeting.
A private closed door meeting. And then 2 weeks later, he's pulling out of a board notes protest. Do you smell a rat?
I do actually, like, because, you know, it's interesting how these people were together and soon after they're not. And then Tajamka comes out and says that they have a board notes protest on the 30th of November.
Yeah, on the 30th of November. Which also is, it's, I mean, for me, it's very disappointing.
Yeah, it's very strange, actually, though, the way these things have happened. But my theory on that is evidently what I can see is that someone or some of these people's intentions don't seem to be as genuine as they once were.
No.
And I will go back to it in terms of a lot of these movements have individuals who are the face of what it is.
Yeah.
And they claim that there are other members as part of their, you know, organization and structure.
But we don't know who those other members are.
But we don't know who those other members are. And you only get to see the one face. Every time it is always Promise, or it's Sten, or it's
Dr. Patson,
or it's Fadzi now. And that then brings into question the growth of these organizations and what exactly they are hoping to achieve.
I can agree. And this is going to touch on, let's actually speak about Tajamuka and Promise first of all.
Sure, yeah.
Promise isn't new to this activism game. He's been a politician.
Yeah.
Let's actually get that out of the way. We can contrast that with maybe like Fadzi or even Dr. Patson, who has not really been in the political sphere in a long time.
Yeah.
And the fissure in Tajamuka, you can see that Linda, you know, who was also part of Tajamuka and a part of a lot of these protest movements, was for the protest on the 18th, Promise himself. We don't know if the statement directly emanated from him, but he didn't say anything against it. And also, so it sort of seems that Promise might be taking instructions or maybe having discussions with seasoned politicians his erstwhile paymasters, who might be, you know, have their own, you know, agendas to play. And also, I think, you know, one thing that has come up, especially in light of this Tajamuka thing, is funding and the money. You know, there's accusations flying around, 100,000 here, 100,000 there. I don't put much credence to those personally. I do think that there's definitely a battle of resources, but I don't think anyone would have been stupid enough to give someone like Promise or someone like Stan or even someone like Fadzi $100,000 to organize a protest. So I think there's a competition for resources, and the lack of their own financial autonomy might lead them to make decisions based off what their paymasters or where their resources are coming from.
But you see, this is the thing in terms of it then comes down to intentions and what are your actual intentions? Because if Tajamuka says they are against bond notes and This Flag says they are against bond notes, and vendors say they're against bond notes, and everyone says they're against bond notes, why can you just not have a mass demo? If the intention is to have a demo, because NERA is also having a demo, there was supposed to be this week, it's been postponed
to the 30th of November.
Yes, today is the 23rd.
Yeah.
So it was meant to be today, but it's been postponed till next week, the 30th. Why not everyone come together and have one mass demo? The intentions is what I'm hashing on, because it seems that there are people within these organizations who do not have genuine intentions, and that then makes them weak. Is Tajamuka still MDC affiliated?
Tajamuka is NERA affiliated, that I know for a fact. NERA is MDC led in most cases, even though nominally Didymus Mutasa is the chairperson, which for me still is a crazy, crazy thing.
He's part of the opposition. He's part of the opposition.
Is that why he was giving Bob a phone call last week? Anyway.
Look, they've been friends for a long time, so I think he was just generally concerned and wanted to.
And not
but we're coming back to frenemies, so yeah. We'll bring that up.
No, so, you know, the thing is, with these movements, they're such limited space that you're right. I don't know why they're not coming together. That being said, I think we can separate them into different classes of movements. As can be seen by why maybe the one on the 18th wasn't as successful. If you look at it, is that Tajomuka pulled out and Nera was never vocally supporting, which means that you didn't have opposition parties supporting this movement, supporting this day of protest.
Yeah.
I mean, PDP leader was there for a short time, but he was basically the only person on the ground. And it was a phenomenal flop. Like, unfortunately, it's the truth. It wasn't as effective or as efficient as anyone had hoped. I think that that's not just down to the fact that, you know, there was no political support, but also because of what happened to Kauzani, Stenzo Radzwa, and Dr. Patson Zamara the night before, where they got abducted. And Ishmael Kauzani and Patson Zamara had their cars burnt. So by the time that news is filtering through the WhatsApp groups and the pictures are thinging in the morning, even people like myself, who I genuinely used to think was a brave, brave man, we sort of decided maybe we'll, you know, drive close and just like
see how it plays out.
Yeah. So, you know, those are the three main reasons. The fear by the abductions, and everyone got a visit the night before, apparently, the Zinasu guys, Marco and Pride, were saying that they got a visit. I don't know about Fadzi. Did you hear anything about?
I have no idea.
Promise didn't get a visit, funnily enough, because he wasn't supporting it. But definitely Dr. Patson Zamara, Ishmael Kauzani, and Stan, who were the most vocal, besides that this flag guys got visits from alleged state agents.
So I understand now let's talk a bit about protests. And I understand that the environment is not conducive for protests because, number one, as you said, the state is using means at its disposal.
Terrorism.
Before these protests even take place.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
The protests are alleged, or is the terrorism alleged?
The terrorism is alleged, okay, because innocent until so proven.
As long as we can agree what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that, and then there's also the police on the ground,
yeah,
who in previous protests have used tear gas, water cannons, rubber bullet. Have they?
No.
No rubber bullet.
I don't even know if they've got rubber bullets. There's been one situation where rounds have been fired into the air, as far as I know. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
To disperse a crowd, but I don't think anyone's had anything fired directly at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've had, and then there's the arrests as well.
Yeah.
So protests are taking place under very strenuous circumstances in terms of coming up against the state.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't even know if we should call them protests, because are protests and demonstrations, are they on par? Because there are peaceful demonstrations which take place, such as what this flag movement then did on that day, on the 18th,
yeah,
in the park. They went and they sat down in the park. They had
placards
that I believe said no to bond notes or something along those lines, and they were then arrested. And what my question then is, that I'm throwing out is, what is the aim of the demonstrations, and is it an effective way of communicating with the people with power that you want to convince no to bond notes?
I think I was waiting for you to get your thing, the ineffective.
No, yeah, because I'm talking about in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
We've seen that protests have worked elsewhere, and I'll come
to... So to our listeners, what he's done is that I can't take an academic perspective on this, because he's asked me specifically about the Zimbabwe situation.
Yeah, I'm talking about
I think that if you say that a group of young, educated, like, you know, girls, you know, basically, yeah, young people sitting in African Union Square is going to topple a repressive regime such as ours, then you're obviously joking.
Do you know what? I also don't think that the aim of some of these activists is to topple the regime. I don't think so.
No. I think this flag hasn't gone as far as ever saying that.
Yeah.
The point is, for this flag, from my understanding, from their readings, from, you know, even back videos from, you know, Pastor Evan, and basically what Fadzi has been saying is to make the government more accountable.
Yeah.
And the reason that demonstrations and protests and these things are more efficient than perhaps the traditional way in other countries, where you write a letter to your MP or your senator and your senator then brings it up, is that our MPs and our senators don't care necessarily. And this goes on both sides of the aisle. Don't necessarily either have the voice or the desire to bring up these things. And even if, when they are being brought up by the likes of your Chamisas, by the likes of your, you know, a bunch of these guys, it's not effective to go through the legislator. So the protest movement is, first of all, and their major aim, particularly their hashtag activism, is to get the conversation going, spark the debate, if you will, to use our tagline, but genuinely get citizens more involved in and taking a stake in their country, which will eventually, my understanding, lead the government to be more accountable to the people. I'll look at some of the early victories of this flag, of, you know, forcing or requesting an audience with Dr. Mangujga, and Mangujga, you know, requesting and sitting down with, you know, activists and economists and Fadzi herself to talk about these issues, which is a form of accountability which they wouldn't have done otherwise.
Do you think so? I mean, is it not possible that they could have done so otherwise, if they had taken the approach and tried to do it?
You think that they would have had this big mess?
I think Mangujga would have sat down with people
if he had been asked, and no one was asking. The citizens weren't asking, so this flag is representing the citizens. They asked. Similarly, I think that,
which is one of the methods that I think perhaps are more effective, is engagement at that kind of forum, at that kind of level. I'm specifically going on to the protests here, and I personally, as you know, think that they are ineffective. However, it is, and I'll say this as a disclaimer, it is every citizen's democratic right to peacefully demonstrate. Peaceful demonstration.
Yeah.
It is also your constitutional right to
petition parliament as well.
Petition parliament to express your opinion. You are allowed to say how you feel within, as long as it's not hate speech and inciting violence. So I agree that you are free to exercise your rights the way you see fit. My only issue then becomes, what is the end game? How is that going to translate to what your aims actually are? And you spoke about trying to get citizens more engaged.
Yeah.
And I personally think that such protests in the current environment, which is not accommodative to protests, as you know, there were arrests of this flag members on the Friday, I think that puts more fear into people than it emboldens them to actually go out there and protest.
I disagree. I think that 6 months ago, maybe even 8 months ago, not wanting to speak for anyone, but I'm certain someone like Nyasha Msundu, goodness, my pronunciations, eh? Apologies to anyone whose name I absolutely butcher here. Nyasha, you know, Anna Henry, Fadzi even herself would not have really seen themselves being at the vanguard or at the forefront of something like that, or being arrested for a demonstration of any kind. These are guys that are, you know, generally come from our, you know, the apathetic areas of this town and this city and this country. Saga, just ipapuchetu, they've already been effective in terms of making citizens more engaged. In terms of fear, we're already living in fear. This country is genuinely already afraid of the government. I don't think that it's a stretch to say that the levels of fear aren't necessarily going to be made any more worse. And so, in fact, seeing someone from as, you know, making assumptions from as coddled an upbringing as Fadzima Heri, or someone who seemed to have their life in order so much as Dr. Patson Zamara, who didn't have to be on the street, doesn't have to be doing these crazy things, doing these things actually will embolden more people than perhaps having those same people sitting in plush offices or working their way up through the traditional political ladders.
Okay, I will take your point. I'll take your point and then look at it from a perspective of going forward. I think, in addition, if we are going to say that, you know, protests do have an effect, which I still don't, you know, believe in. In addition to that, there must be other avenues. Because looking at what it is that you want, if this were a no to bond notes, and now this protest that happened on Friday was not a success, then what?
It was.
What then happens?
It wasn't a success, but in many ways, like, and this is going to be controversial, 40 people being arrested and 18...
Was it 40?
At some point, there were 40 people picked up. That was the initial number we got, but I don't know the actual final people that spent the night there.
Were there 40 people there?
Picked up. Not 40 people. There were 40 people there, but there were 40 people picked up. Yeah, definitely. Okay, I'll stand by that.
I thought there were less. I thought there were about 14 people.
Oh, no, I don't know about Anna Fazi, but I know from the PDP people as well. Being arrested and going through this, and I don't know if Fadzi will ever listen to this, but perhaps, you know, things like that are going to lead to greater things. So now she's efficiently, like, become part of the struggle, eh? Like, so now she's spent a night in the cells. Those guys have spent a night in the cells, and perhaps then personally they're more emboldened. So was it a flop in if you've created revolutionaries from an unjust arresting?
You see, this is why then some people have then said that, the, you know, they've questioned the intentions, and I want to say that I'm not one of them. I don't believe anyone went out there with the intention of getting arrested. I don't think anyone actually wants to spend a night in jail. I think the reason why they went out to protest, even after it was... Because they went out around 12 o'clock.
Yeah, so, it was meant to be 9 a.m. and then no one rocked
exactly,
up and then
yeah.
they regrouped. So around 12:15, actually were there.
Around 12, because we then got into the park at around 1 o'clock
and they'd already gone.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's actually funny.
So,
she wrote back to me saying, lol. I can't see anyone. Where are you?
So, I mean, I think the reason they went out was because they had said they were going to do so. And they were living up to their word. And I think it's very important for them to do so. But I will, you know, following that, the conversations on Twitter, on Facebook, some people have said, you know, they just wanted to get arrested. Some people have said that, you know, they wanted to make a name for themselves. And actually, it was more directed towards Fadzi. And the sad thing about it is there were 8 people who ended up in court.
Yeah.
Tobekile Ngube, Mudiwa Mahere, Talent Chademana, Patrick Mugadza, Fadzi Mahere, Henry Mnangati, and Nyasha Msano. Right?
Yeah.
I know there were other people who were arrested.
My understanding is there's an option for police bail the night before. Basically pay a $20 fine.
Admission of guilt.
And then you're on your way.
So I think it's unfair for the people who have said that they've done it for the name and, you know, to earn stripes, basically, to say that. But however, there is this perception now going along, right? And how does it then impact this flag as a movement? Because after Pastor E left, it also had implications on what happened to this flag. And then Fadzi has come up as the face,
Yeah.
Which is one of the problems that I have with these social movements, as I've said, is that there seems to be one person who is the face. Now at least I know there's eight other members who I can name by name. But my problem with that as well is that on Facebook, on Saturday, on Twitter, when the bail hearing was happening, the hashtag was Free Fadzi and Friends. So again, it's not of her doing, it's not even her fault, but it's the perception that people around on social media have created, in the sense that they are creating, it's almost hero worshipping. You're creating a pedestal, or you're putting her on a pedestal.
Making demagogues.
And then, making demagogues. And if then she does not live up to what is then expected of her, wrongly so, then it creates a crisis within that. And what I find with these online movements, or these social media movements, or these social movements, let's call them social movements because it's a citizens movement, and them being online, is that they don't have structures, or there's no organization, there's nothing on the ground to support it. So whilst this message is going around on WhatsApp, the videos on Facebook, people are liking, people are retweeting, you can't actually quantify how many people there actually are within Harare without actual structures on the ground. And I think this is a folly of these movements, and why they have not had much success. The stay away in at the beginning of the year, around May, was, I think, more to do with the civil servants not getting their money and the combi drivers having problems with the police. And they impacted that more than, I say, Pastor E calling for a stay away. Because then what then happened afterwards was the next stayaways that he called were flops.
Yeah, the civil servants and the ET drivers are definitely a factor, but the national and international media recognition off that stairway, I believe, was because of the This Flag and the hashtag movements.
Great.
So, and my point is, even like, just to go back before you, even if people are saying they went to go there and get arrested, right? It's one of these things that we as people generally do, is tall poppy syndrome. We have it in Zimbabwe. If someone gets too tall, too big, there's always going to be distractors. People are going to want to cut them down. Sure. They shouldn't be deterred by that.
Sure.
And even from even a more controversial point of view, if you're looking to be effective and you're looking for a political platform and you're looking for ascendancy, being arrested is not the worst decision you can make for your political career in this country. I think that there's no credible opposition. In fact, there's no, some of them, even in ZANU-PF, who have made their careers off the fact that they've gotten in trouble with the law or fighting over things. So, you know, it's one of those criticisms that are unfair in a way, because if she was a politician and she had gone to get arrested, she would be a hero. But because she's trying to inspire people, they're trying to inspire people, other people to get active, and these people feel maybe shut out, or they don't feel that it's efficient or effective or whatever. They then attack on the fact that she got arrested. She didn't go there to get arrested.
I agree with that. Yeah, she fully
stood,
agree with that.
They stood for their principles and their rights, and people can say it's stupid. Indeed. Of course you're going to get arrested. Yeah, of course they knew the risk going into it, but you know, that wasn't the end goal.
And I salute them on actually going out.
Yeah.
In the face of what happened being a flop, and standing, as you said, by their principles and making the decision to do so. I think it was very noble of them, and I'm just looking at the situation and thinking that in terms of achieving their goals and their aims, there has to be other ways. One of the issues, again, besides the fact that there are no structures, there's no cell group, and this is something I've mentioned. There was a citizens symposium a couple months back, and I mentioned there that for it to move forward and grow, you're going to have either more symposiums of that sort in different locations. You're going to actually engage people face to face on the ground, talking your ideology, talking your beliefs, and that kind of thing. I don't see that happening. And as I've said, a problem has been that This Flag has been a one-face organization. You haven't, they have people around. They have other people there.
Yeah.
But you never got to see who these people were.
They don't have the institutional knowledge of either A, churches, church leaders since Pastor Evan left, or B, politicians? Because those are the two main organizations in this country that are effective at organizing people.
Do they want to engage them, though,
no,
is the question.
If they don't, I'm not saying that Fadzi or this flag or Tajamuko, I mean, Tajamuko is already in...
MDC affiliate.
It's already in Chamisa's back pocket. it's a fact.
So you're saying...
Go ahead. No, I'm not saying that they should then become a political party.
Sure,
or they
sure.
should find... but activism can only take you so far.
I mean,
they're going to learn from this. I'm sure next time that they call for a protest or a demo, they're not going to ignore some of the concerns of these other social movements, or maybe the organizational powers of being affiliated with a political party. So they'll learn.
Do you know
But if they want to then engage the same people who are retweeting and hashtagging to come out onto the ground, they're going to have to do it in person and be more efficient in terms of either cell, like you said, cell groups sounds like a great idea, door-to-door knocking, things like that. Until then, they will largely be flops.
Do you know what? I also think that the unfortunate thing about social media, as I said, the people who like, retweet, and share, you can have 100,000 likes and retweets,
yeah,
and they are all from people based in the diaspora. And I think we have a large number of people online based in the diaspora who contribute to the propping up of these online social
movements. You mean right? Financially or just in terms of likes and retweets? I suppose it's the same thing.
Exactly.
You can quantify.
So what then happens is it comes back to quantifying how many people you have on the ground, how much traction you have on the ground. And it's great that Zimbabweans all over the world are supporting, you know, for their own interests, whatever political affiliations, social movements, whether you're ZANU-PF, MDC, Tajamuka, this flag. It's great that Zimbabweans around the world are certainly more engaged in the political things that are happening in this country. But again, being based here and wanting to be a movement that's based here, you have to find a way to relate to or quantify your numbers of people that are actually here that support you.
I think what's important to note is that hashtag activism didn't start here. I'll give you an example. I think most geopolitical people, political theorists will tell you hashtag activism started with Occupy Wall Street. First, Occupy Wall Street was probably no more than 20 people there.
Sure.
But they eventually got to a point where they shut down Wall Street with almost 20,000 people there. Let's take it even further back in history. Che Guevara and Fidel Castro initially started with 183 supporters and they toppled the country. So, you know, all power to the 18 or 14 people, 8 of whom you've mentioned by name, who were arrested on the 18th of November, because maybe in 5 years' time we'll be like, oh, that's where it started. So it's an organic movement. It's a citizens' movement. People are learning. Like I said, 8 months ago, Fazi was a lawyer and a somewhat social commentator on things that she just wrote on her Facebook. Literally, she wrote on her Facebook. Now you can't even add her as a friend anymore because, you know, she's been thrust into this position reluctantly or maybe not so reluctantly, depending on who you ask. So it's growing. The criticisms are fair, but it's growing. People are learning. And, you know, the people who are really criticizing the social movements, maybe, you know, you've actually been quite calm in your criticism. The people who are really criticizing them, there's two groups. There's the ZANU-PF, hierarchy who wants to dismiss their citizens so that they are not called to account for their things. Then there are the politicians who are on the opposition who also have that same mentality. And you see these divisions already coming up as a result of this interference, whether it's through using money or through using, you know, different, you can't have three demos for the same thing in the space of 2 weeks. But it's also because people are looking for political ascendancies. And I hope, you know, these Fadziana, Ana Fadzi, they grow up and they realize how to play the game. Because at the end of the day, you know, she likes to say, I'm an activist, I'm not a politician, I'm a citizen. You're a politician.
So this
you
is
are doing
thing.
Politics,
yeah,
you're living politics. Now go and get dirty and destroy these old men at their bloody own game. Oshinzo. Go and destroy them.
I cannot endorse that message, but I will say, though, that she is in politics.
No, definitely.
There's no two ways about it. I think the outside from the protests, there are the means. And one of them was actually that letter she wrote when Stanbic.
Oh, yeah.
When Stanbic put out their letter to their...
Changing the terms and conditions of their deposits.
Right, yeah. And, you know, she drafted a very simple letter, legal language, that said people must not sign the amended contract.
Just don't sign it.
And Stanbic was shook. A day later, they
took it back.
Withdrew their statement and their contract. So I think that was very effective. It was direct. It was simple, but it was concise, and it hit them where it hurt.
Yeah.
It hit them where it hurt. And I think, again, in terms of engaging, and because this flag has not said that it is for toppling the government or, you know, that regime change, even though the concept of regime change in a democracy
is the essence
of a democracy. But but anyway, I won't get into that because
we're going into ivory towers and hiding there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So one of the things is, I don't know. Again, the government might not even want to engage, but at the same time, they do read the stuff that Fadzi puts out.
Yeah.
They follow what this flag is doing. And they follow, for various reasons.
You know, what was most significant than being arrested, this week, on your point, is that she was mentioned by Manyeru. That's actually, for me, is you've made it. When Ethno Manyeru spends you've made it. So I think it was more significant than being arrested. It means you're well and truly within the fold of...
Well, which makes, you a political player. I think, this flag also got a meeting with Mangushka earlier on in the year. I might be naive and I might be hopeful that there's room for engagement in various ways, but there's also... I think you have to look at certain things practically, and I'll go to an example from Namibia. A group of expelled SWAPO Youth League members, three of them, led by a guy named Joba Mpanda, decided that land reform needed to take place in Namibia.
Yeah.
So what he then did was he went to a posh neighborhood. It was the need for land, living space.
Yeah.
So he went to a posh neighborhood in Windhoek, and say he went to Borodil Brook, and he found an open space, and he put a pole in the ground, and he claimed that as his land.
Yeah.
Right? And he basically, it was a protest.
Yeah.
It was not actually claiming the land, but it was a protest. It got media coverage. He then said that we have a land problem. So many people don't have land, and the government is doing nothing about it. A couple of months later, he went on a social media campaign and asked everyone in Windhoek to come to the city of Windhoek and sign up for land, because you can go to your local council
and sign up for land,
and then they'll get back to you when land is available, and you just, you buy the land.
From council.
I think the first, when he did it in Windhoek, about 6,000-8,000 people turned up.
Yeah.
On the day. He said, on one specific day, let's all turn up.
Yeah.
The city was shook. He then saw that this is effective. He called it nationwide. and they got about 50,000 people. Now, maybe it's a population of 2 million people. So you had 50,000 people nationwide going to every single council in the city. Swakopmund, Tsumeb, you know,
everywhere.
All around signing up for land.
Yeah.
And he gave the government an ultimatum. I think it was 9 months. And he said, in 9 months, you should have solved this issue because we've signed up and you owe it to us to deliver on giving us land.
Yeah.
Clock, you know, went down. And a week before the deadline, the government, the president, invited, they started calling themselves AR, affirmative repositioning. Right? Okay. And the government called the called them into a meeting. They had a day-long meeting.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, they came up with an agreement in which the government promised to service 200,000 plots.
Yeah.
And the process then started following. They had already on the list for land, there were, I think, 100,000 names, plus the 50,000 that then signed up afterwards. Yeah. It was 150,000. So the government promised to service 200,000 plots.
Yeah.
This was a form, it was not political because they are still affiliated
to
SWAPO.
Yeah.
But they were a citizens' movement. They organized some youths and they made a plan for themselves to they found legal means. They also found within themselves lawyers, engineers, people who could actually come up with a document. They presented the document to government saying there's land here, it can be serviced, these are the legal ramifications and this and this. It was a comprehensive document that because of the pressure that then came, government then responded. Yeah. I don't know how something like that would work here, but these are some of the thinkings, I think, alternative thinkings that could be very useful.
And unfortunately, in that case, you're not comparing apples to apples, eh?
That's true.
True. And if you were to use the example of, first of all, like, let's just look at the genesis of this flag. Isn't we're talking about bond notes?
We are. Now we're talking about bond notes.
And but that's generally that was one of their main issues. That was the meeting with Mangujga, yeah? That meeting, overwhelmingly, people said, no, we don't want bond notes. John Mangujo said, heavy. We're going on with bond notes. So
no, I agree with that, right? But now, look, what I also am thinking is, have there been economic minds that have presented alternatives to bond notes? And I know it's not the responsibility of the citizen to do so. But working in the environment that we're working in, I mean, it's not the responsibility of the citizen, but if you have a bright idea,
you should
present it.
Yeah, I think, of course, yeah, no, you're correct. But, you know, we're Namibia and Zimbabwe.
No, two very different countries, two different political situations.
It's a nascent movement. I'm sure you would expect them to have matured by now, but they're still learning.
No, Fazi
didn't come from the folds of the ZANU-PF youth league, because people that have come from ZANU-PF have been quite effective in mobilizing things, resources for their areas, and things like that. So perhaps having also that political experience puts you at an advantage.
Their
greatest weakness, particularly Dr. Patson and Fadzi, is they're reluctant to call themselves politicians. And the sooner that they do that, the sooner that they're not just telling us not to come out on the street, the sooner they're telling people to register to vote, the sooner they're telling people to, you know, call their MPs, put that kind of pressure on them, the more powerful they're going to be. But, you know, lots of weaknesses, but genuinely, overall effective. That's my...
Except for the protests. I'll stand by that. I don't think the demonstrations are effective.
One person shows up for your protest, you've been successful.
I mean,
my genuine belief is that even if one person shows up for your protest,
I suppose I'm not looking at... the process, I'm looking at the product.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm more focused on the product. So I will take that approach, because I know if I go to the process, then I'm going to, change my stance.
Exactly. So,
but it's very interesting. Again, speaking about the protest. So interestingly enough, as we said, some people were not picked up. And I generally have a question. So we're moving on a bit. I generally have a question of how AC Lumumba got away. Because if you look at the videos on Facebook,
yeah, he was there.
In every single video, he's there.
He's slippery.
And then next thing you know, people have been picked up. He's not one of them. And he then posts, Fadzi, Mudiwa, Patrick, Henry, they've been picked up, but yeah. I got away. And I'm thinking, well, So I'm actually intrigued.
That was an audio clip from Friday. Sorry, no.
I'm genuinely intrigued as to how AC got away.
I think it was more of a process. I don't know. I would have to actually ask and find out. I don't think that they. I think they were detained initially, and then those that decided to use their arrest as also another form of protest. Because that's what people forget, is that an arrest itself is a form of protest. You were asking maybe earlier to go back the difference between a demonstration and
a protest. Yeah.
So when they were sitting down peacefully, that was a demonstration. When they said, no, we're not going to pay $20 as a fine, we're going to let you go through due process with this unjust law that our constitution lets you violate our constitutional rights. That's a protest. So even the court case and the arguments that were being put out in court, that's when it turned into a protest. And I think perhaps he was there for the demonstration, not there for the protest, which is also, you know, his constitutional right.
Indeed. I really am just intrigued as to how it all played out, you know, like,
yeah, no,
okay, so people are getting picked up, ande uko, and they see,
you just walk away.
The cops in Africa Unity Square outnumbered the protesters.
I think genuinely, honestly as well, I think the cops are becoming more savvy. I also think they were quite reluctant to make those arrests. I don't think that they're as overzealous as they were maybe 6 or 7 months ago. Because I think 6 or 7 months ago, they were burisa mbuma, vakatanga kurova nepapo. When people refuse to move, which we've seen videos of people in the same area in Africa Unity Square being beaten for sitting down. In fact, less people. So, I think that either they've engaged a PR man or someone is now giving them instructions that this is a different class of protester. This is a different, I suppose class is an unfortunately correct term to use there. That you can't necessarily be violent because, you know, the camera phones are out. It's straight onto YouTube. It's straight onto they're probably streaming it live.
So are you saying that the cops have become frenemies with the protesters?
With the protesters. Yeah, I think they are, which is an excellent segue. No, I lied. It was a terrible segue. Absolutely horrendous segue to our second.
Moving away from the protest a little bit onto the issue of frenemies.
I think frenemies is onto the issue of politicians politicking and being good at their damn jobs, eh?
That's true. I mean, it is the nature. So basically, our discussion is premised on the meeting that took place between Temba Mliswa
Honorable
Temba Mliswa, I apologize.
And
Honorable Savior Kasukwere last week. Pictures came up on social media.
Yeah, on Twitter, the Savior tweeted them himself.
Yeah,
actually.
They sat down, they were talking about the Norton constituency, the issues
Kingsdale.
That were
taking
Kingsdale, which is the farm that
Which was given to people, then taken away, then given, then taken away. So it's been going on since 2013, issue.
In terms of who owns the land, because it had been parceled out and then it was.
There was a court case. Someone actually won the land back and began evicting people with the minister's permission. The reason why it's so interesting is less than 3 months ago, Honorable Mliswa had said that he had tried to punch Savior for making a sexual advance on him. I'm not making that up. That's actually what happened. but now they're shaking hands and, having tea in the minister's office.
Interestingly enough, I don't know if I'm at liberty to say this, but in an interview, Honorable Mliswa, he really says some not so nice things about Honorable Kasukwere. And he's...
Guys, just Google it. If you're listening and you're interested, just...
In a recent interview, it hasn't gone out yet.
this is interesting. It's coming.
But, you know, he's basically said he's bad at his job as a political commissar.
Yeah.
And that he shouldn't be in the position that he is. What I then garnered from that was just that Honorable Mliswa wants to be the political commissar of ZANU-PF. So his whole...
He wouldn't be terrible at it either.
His whole independent, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I would be surprised if he doesn't go back to
ZANU-PF. You're the one that put me onto the 48 laws of power. Number two, Cheche. Never put too much trust in friends and learn how to use your enemy.
Right? Yeah. So
that indeed. Photo op does nothing bad. For Honorable Mliswa, it does plenty of bad for perhaps. I wonder if maybe he's now frenemies with Chamisa and
Wajgajena. I mean, they've been taking pictures together outside Parliament. At the end of the day, Kissinger did say, no permanent friends, enemies, only permanent interests. And it is clear that they are both serving their interests.
Yeah.
Whether their interests are for the good of their constituents and the good of the nation is yet to be seen. But I do hope that it is something that, you know,
if we see more of it, I wouldn't mind. The only problem is that with how, you know, polarized our political situation is, the second you're seen with someone from either opposite political party, opposite faction, whatever, you're immediately compromised. So while I would like to see, you know, perhaps a Jesse Majome trying to sort out the issues in, you know, in her constituency with some of these ministers, particularly like waste and roads, as soon as that she takes a picture with them, her own party will start saying Dr. Mari from ZANU-PF, which their president has set a precedent for.
Again,
on that permanent next interest. Week.
But the thing is, at the end of the day, as an MP, and you have to work with the incumbent government. Whilst you can oppose them, in Parliament, and some of the things that they do say, I'm not saying agree with everything.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that you're going to have to work with the Minister of Local Government, because he is the Minister of Local Government. You're going to have to work with the Minister of Energy, because your constituents need energy.
But it's easier for Temba as an independent to do that.
Because he has no party.
He has no party, and he, you know, most people only see his exit from ZANU-PF as temporary. But if you consider the plight of an MDC MP, who might want to have a power project in their area, they will likely, or even the incumbent government doesn't want to, it's not in their interest to develop MDC constituencies. It's not in Xavier's interest, and as you've seen by his meddling, in local councils, for local councils to run efficiently, because they're run by the MDC, and if they deliver, then it's a bad thing for them in come 2018. Politics is being played on both sides, but genuinely,
it's politics.
Particularly with this minister, he's by far the least genuine in their concern in his portfolio of all the ministers, even the Robin Hood professor is not as bad as him, because his meddling in all of the city councils has led to certain inefficiencies. I'm not saying the city councils aren't corrupt, but, you know, it's over and above.
As you've said, I think there's problems on both sides of the equation. I would just hope that, again, on both sides, they are willing to extend the proverbial olive branch. And work with each other for the good of their constituents.
Yeah.
Again, like this is what politics ideally should be about, and we're talking from the ivory tower here. Is that
they're setting a precedent? Definitely, it's a good thing.
And I hope that more what such engagement happens. Would
hypothetically, what new frenemies would you like to see become friends again? You want the Joker and Batman,
right?
I'd actually
like to see this flag and Mangujka sit down again in a constructive manner, where you're getting people, and I say this flag as the citizens' movement.
Yeah.
So I want to see citizens getting involved in presenting feasible options that could be used. Then on the other side,
you want them to listen.
These guys listening. Those are the kind of frenemies that I'd like to see. I'd like to see, you know, the citizens and it's interesting to say the citizens and the state.
Are you not a citizen?
Right? Indeed I am, and I think I'm doing my part by voicing my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I'm putting this out there that I think it would be very useful if, like, let me not put the pressure on this flag.
Yeah.
But any citizen with an economic brain who believes that they have, you know,
something to add yeah.
to help out our economic situation.
I think I would like to
see. And on the other side, our government actually
listening. I think I would like to see the Fugees get back together. but no, jokes aside, definitely my own personal one is Tsvangirai and his erstwhile lieutenants, all of them, frenemies. And I suppose Joyce and Morgan, we need a coalition in the opposition, because all of these is twiddling our thumbs until we get to the position where they're together.
To be quite honest, it's something I don't think we mentioned in full, and now we're getting towards the end. But the citizens are also going to need a political
home
and vehicle.
Yeah.
Really, it's something that, you know, it comes down to organization on the ground.
Yeah.
But when people speak of the social revolutions that took place, social movement revolutions
that took place, in
social media revolutions that took place
in the Arab Springs
and things,
yeah.
Part of that was very useful because number one, as Miles Tendi puts it in his foreign policy article.
On FP,
yeah. On FP.com, where
I've got
he
it
says,
open, yeah. Shout out to Miles Tendi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skype you in, actually.
Yeah, that would be good. Where he says that one of the reasons why it worked was because of the position of the army, in those countries.
Yeah.
That the army was not supportive of the incumbent government.
Yeah.
Number one. He also said that there was a political alternative once that regime had been changed. And one of the things that the citizens' movement doesn't seem to have
is a political alternative.
But again, the citizens' movement has not said they are for regime change.
No, they're not.
Except for Chajamuka. But
Chajamuka
is MDC. So it's, you know, it's.
I'm sure they'll take offense to us calling
them MDC
throughout the show. I think they just want to see a change in government.
But you need to have a political alternative once you are gunning for a change in government. And what we've done, unfortunately, in the show is we've boxed the social movements into one sort of grouping.
Yeah.
Though we did speak about them differently, it's just that, again, what are your intentions? Are they clear? How are you driving those intentions? How are you driving towards those intentions? I think for me, that's where the disparities are, is that some of these intentions aren't clear.
And that being said, it's a nascent movement. It's an infant, as it was. I think that their intentions are going to become very clear as they mature.
I'm sure.
And as they gain institutional knowledge.
Yeah, I'm sure people said the same thing, you know, that I'm saying.
About the Arab Spring.
Even the Arab Spring, man. I'll take you back to the liberation struggle ANC was, you know, the ANC Zimbabwean. In Rhodesia was around. I'm sure they said the same things when the split in ZAPU and ZANU happened. I'm sure they said the same things about.
I think
ZANU.
We should have a full history episode about that.
We should actually take it.
But
relax it a bit.
Time we're looking like we've run out of time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Like as you'd heard, we've made a lot of references to the this flag, to Jamuka, all these nascent political movements, social activist movements.
Civil society.
But they're not even civil society. They're not political. They're definitely citizens movement. And that article, actually, I really feel it's important you guys have a read. It's called Why a Hashtag Isn't Enough of a Revolution in Zimbabwe. And it's by Blessing Miles Tendi. It's on the foreignpolicy.com. Just Google that. That's the main source we've actually used. The rest is just from our own little views and our corridors and the places that we happen to frequent based on whom we get to interact with on a day-to-day basis.
And please, I hope that you do share your views as well. It's part of the debate, I think. You know, we want to hear what you think because we feel it's important that young people
and old people. If you're knitting their gogo and mgusona juzire mzukuru, please get hold of us.
Yeah, but you know, it's important that we start having these conversations
and
out
spark
there
the debate,
and
like
sparking the debate, because from there we hope that something concrete can come about and it will help to build a better Zimbabwe.
Yeah. So I've been Tawanda Henry Beattie. You can find me at Twitter at Henry Beattie, at Instagram at Mr. H underscore Beattie, and on Snapchat is just Henry Beattie as well. Yeah, Tawanda is quite common, so I suppose Henry it is. Sounds regal.
And my name is Christopher Farai Charamba. You can find me at Chris Charamba on Twitter and on Instagram. You've been listening to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263.
Capital 263.